Okay, welcome to another episode of Time Out with Coach Craig Norman. Today's a special episode. It's an anniversary. This is our 10th show, Diane. Time has flown by, hasn't it?
Yes, it has.
I'm here with my lovely co-host, Lady Di, Diane Andreville. Diane, we got a number of guests here today. We got in our Meet a Gator segment, we have Eva Kuwar. She's from Ottawa. She's a second-year student in biochemistry with the Lady Gators. We have Mr. Rob Burns, who's a former men's Gator, all right, and he works in the advancement office at Bishop's University. So last week we had Christine Murphy, who settled in here after moving into Lennoxville and playing for the Gators for 5 years. Rob did the same, and now his family settled in Lennoxville. So I think that's an interesting story. We also are going to be joined by two recruits from Montmorency College, Marika Couturier and Abigail Leberge. But first off, we're gonna recap what happened last week. We played McGill on Saturday night. They came into Lennoxville, geared up to play us. It was a battle for first place, and they were ranked number 2 in the country, and they beat us pretty soundly, 73-50, or was that the score, Diane?
74-51.
Diane, before we go any further, I'm wondering, what were your thoughts on that game?
I thought that we did not shoot the ball well, that's for sure. We missed a lot of opportunities, a lot of open shots.
You know, Diane, I was disappointed, obviously, with the score. But I think McGill probably played as good a game as they could play at this time of the year.
Yes, all right?
They were firing on all cylinders. You know, in the exact same game last year, they came in here and we beat them by 20. And they went on to win a national championship. So maybe that's a good omen. Maybe it's not. But, you know, give them credit. Alice Kiss-Rusk was outstanding, as was Frederick Podvin, as was Gladys Hakazima, as was Abonte Cabillo. And Love was tremendous too. I think that we matched up well with Rusk, with Mara Marchesotti and Edith Noblechilla, and I thought Ashley Malum had decent games, enough to, you know, I think the other players struggled somewhat, and I'm not disappointed in them. I think it was a process in our rebuild, and I think that you know, we struggled to shoot the ball. It was close for about 25 minutes, and I think that we just need to learn how to win close, low-scoring games. And I think that we stopped playing defense after we couldn't put the ball in the basket. McGill's probably the top-ranked defensive team in the country, and they put the clamps to us.
Yes.
Yeah. All right? And we struggled to fight that battle in the trenches for 40 minutes. But you know what? I'm fairly confident that we came out of that game a better team. I was so thrilled with the way the girls competed, and I mean all of them, all right? And they were focused. I mean, the biggest problem for me, I thought, was trying to deal with the disappointment in the locker room after the game. I could see that the girls were really down, and I could see that it was genuine, and I could see that, you know, they had worked hard, and they didn't get what maybe they thought they deserved, but that's a lesson in itself. Sometimes you can prepare and work as hard as possible, but in sports you still got to be prepared for defeat, you know. And, yeah. And I think that we're going to rebound, and we've been working hard this week. Now, Diane, any other games in the University League from last week that we should be aware of in the standings, and maybe just recap the Sejup League and the standings there, and we can move on.
Concordia also played against UCAM, and they won 73-67. And so as of right now, the rankings are McGill at first place, Concordia at second place, Bishops at third, Laval fourth, and UCAM at fifth.
Okay, but again, we got to clear this up. McGill and Concordia are tied in first place.
Yeah.
And Laval and Bishops are tied in second place. And I think another interesting thing is we have a 5-team conference, and 3 teams are ranked in the top 10. McGill last week was ranked number 2. Laval was 7, and I think Concordia was 9, all right? And we even received some votes in the top 12 last week, all right? So our conference, as usual, is just crazy. We have 3 teams out of 5 in the top 10. So how about the Sejup League last weekend?
So on Friday, there were 4 games. Trois-Rivières won against Vanier, 56-53. Dawson won against Sainte-Foy, 85-64. Montmorency won against Champlain-Lennoxville 77-52, and Edouard Montpetit won against Champlain-St. Lambert 67-64. And as of right now, Dawson is still in first place with 7-0. Montmorency second place, Sainte Foy third place, Trois-Rivières fourth, Edouard Montpetit fifth, Vanier sixth, Champlain-St. Lambert seventh, and Champlain-Lennoxville at eighth place.
Well, thank you very much. Now, you know, and the reason why we have interest in that Sejup League is that's where we do most of our recruiting, and there's tremendous young talent there, so it's important that we keep an eye on that. Now, that wraps up the first part of our show. We'll be right back with Eva Kuwar in a Meet a Gator segment.
Well, it's not always raining. There'll be days like this. When there's no one complaining, there'll be days like this. When everything falls into place, like the flick of a switch. Oh, my mama told me, there'll be days like this.
All right, welcome back to Time Out with Coach Craig Norman. We are now in the Meet a Gator segment, and we have Miss Eva Kuwar with us today from Kempville, Ontario. She's a second-year student studying biochemistry, which is not an easy task when you're combining it with basketball. Eva's a 5'10 and a half inch forward, but she's more of a 3.5. She can play the 3 spot, she can play the 4 spot, all right? And she's a terrific teammate, and she's still developing as a player, all right? She's had somewhat limited playing time, but, you know, people, all you listeners out there, you got to understand that Eva came here as an 18-year-old or 19-year-old. She's competing against Sejup kids who go to 3-year Sejup. And she's really come a long way in her 2 years, and we're thrilled to have her here today. Eva, welcome for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
I'm wondering if you could please tell us where you grew up and when you were introduced to sports, and in particular basketball.
So I grew up in Kempville, Ontario, which is pretty close to Ottawa. And I was introduced to basketball in about grade 6 when the Kempville Warriors head coach, Betty Cooper, contacted my mom because I was 5'7", which is huge, and she wanted me to play post, and I'd never played basketball before, so that's how it started.
Okay, and so you started developing your skills and your love for the game. Now, any coaches in high school and in the club system that may have inspired you?
Yeah, I had really great coaches in high school. My basketball coach, Chris Finner, was great. I also played volleyball, and he was amazing too. Outside of that, I had a really great trainer. He really stood out. He's a really humble guy, Merrick Palmer, and he worked with me on my shot and really helped me develop all my skills.
Now, can you please talk about the basketball developmental model in Ontario? It's a bit different than Quebec, and in particular the club system and how that works.
So, in my personal experience, I kind of touched on every area in the Ontario basketball system. So you play Atom, Bantam, which is your kind of developmental years where you just learn to play basketball. Yeah. And then from there, you kind of start to play summer ball. And then that's TIDP, which is the Team Identification Development Program for Ontario. And you play all summer, and that kind of gets you into the Eastern Ontario club teams where it's more competitive. It's still not really high level, but it's good, and you get court time, and it's great, and then it preps you for Jewel in the next level.
So you played Jewel, correct?
Yes. Yeah.
Which is kind of like elite level basketball, and
yeah.
And maybe when I first met Eva, I think she was playing for Jewel, mm-hmm. And your coach at that time, what's her name, Fabian?
Fabian Blizzard.
Who's got a bit of a connection to Bishops. I think her husband played football at Bishops. And you know what, maybe touch on some of the sacrifices you made to play Jewel. I know you traveled a great distance.
Yeah, so also in Ontario, you always play high school ball and Jewel, so there was that as well. And then with my
Just before you go further, maybe the difference in Quebec and Ontario too is, in Ontario, the women's basketball season in terms of high school starts in September and ends early, correct?
Yes.
So the provincials are done by what, November
or
December?
Yeah,
and now the club system takes over, correct?
Yeah, but it usually starts, tryouts are September, August. For Jewel, it's early August. And then you go all the way through until end of May.
So how far were you traveling to play Jewel?
So it's every 2 weeks or so we'd be in Toronto.
Okay.
Because Ottawa, we'd have maybe one home tournament in Ottawa, but all the other Jewel teams are in the Toronto area, so it's about 6 hours.
But how far was Kempville from the practices?
Yeah, practice, I was about an hour away from practice, and then I played in Kingston 1 year, so that was about an hour and 15 minutes.
So how did you do that? I guess your mom made some sacrifices, yeah, or your dad?
Yeah, and I got my grandparents had to kind of help out sometimes. Because
so every time you had to go to a practice, you were traveling a pretty fair distance.
Yes.
And that's an hour in a car.
Yeah, like 2 hours there and back. It's very...
So from what I can gather, basketball was pretty important in your life.
Yes, yeah.
You loved it?
Yeah, for sure.
All right, at what age did you set that goal, maybe, that I want to play at the next level?
I think it was whenever I started playing Jewel Prep,
yeah,
which is grade 10, so I was maybe 13 or 14. And I made the team, and I didn't think I was going to make the team. And it was just like, wow, like, I can do this. I really want to kind of improve myself. And I didn't want to play post, but I was playing post, so I'm still kind of in that transition,
yeah,
to kind of become quicker.
I mean, for everybody out there, I think Eva's... She's one of those in-betweeners, and,
yeah,
and she's not really a post, but she maybe doesn't have the quickness to play the perimeter, but in that, there's a strength in that, and that she can play multiple positions. Now, I'm wondering, how did you end up at Bishop's University?
So, I had heard from one of the teammates' parents, and he really wanted to come and play basketball at Bishop's, but he ended up going to Carleton. But he loved Bishop's, and he was raving about Bishop's, so I kind of added it to my list. And then I had a trainer who played at Bishop's, and he loved it, so I just figured, you know, I'll send an email, see if things worked out. And in May, I think, I came down for a tryout and a tour, and talking to you and Coach Cassavy, I was like, wow, they're really honest. Like, they seem to genuinely care about me as, like, an athlete, and not just an athlete, but a student.
Well, for everybody out there, I remember the day Eva came down, and myself and Coach Cassavy put her through a pretty intense workout,
yeah,
and she just persevered, and she worked really hard. And one thing Eva can really do is she can really shoot the ball, and it was evident there that if we could get this girl work on her physical preparation, that one day she could contribute to our program, and we're so lucky that she decided to come on board. Now I'm wondering if you could talk a bit about some of the challenges you face moving away from home and you know, coming to Bishop's.
I mean, for me, it wasn't, I guess I was looking for something outside of the Ottawa area, something very different, embrace kind of new things. And it is 3.5 hours away, so it's kind of far. I can't go back for, you know, weekends, really. But you really start to miss your family sometimes. But I find with basketball in school, you're just so busy that it's hard to kind of feel sad or about it.
Yeah.
Occasionally, you know, you get a little bit sad, but it's...
Tell
you know,
me this, and I know I kind of noticed this last... I felt that, you know, sometimes a kid from Ontario may feel a bit alienated because you're in a French speaking province, you're in an isolated part of the town. Did you ever, you must have got homesick a couple of times?
Yeah, I think it was mostly just to be maybe kind of this time last year, November, I started to feel kind of the stress of school and just, oh, like, you're alone, like, a lot of the girls mostly speak French, and now it's fine. Like, we're all, like, close now, but it was a bit rough.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I think
you've done a tremendous job transitioning from an Ontario high school student in Kempville to really blending into the Lennoxville community and the basketball program. Now, I think what people need to know, too, is... I mean, the basketball component of what you're doing here as a student athlete probably takes 20 hours a week with all the,
yeah,
with the practices, with the lifting, the film work, the traveling. But what they don't realize, like, and the regular student maybe has 15 hours of study time after that, plus some study time in the room. But you're studying biochemistry, and you got labs, And your coursework is a bit more intensive than someone who's studying in the arts or business even.
Yes.
And I think that down the road you have aspirations to be a doctor.
Yes.
All right. So yeah. I'm wondering, how do you balance all that out? All right. And we know, so people out there know that Eva sometimes burns the candle at both ends. All right. She's up late. She's early in the morning to get to practice, and sometimes she's had in both her first and second year, she's had to face the adversity of getting ill. She's had strep throat, but I believe she's got so much on her plate at times, and she's come so far. I'm wondering how you balance all that.
It's a weekly struggle. Some weeks are better than others, but the workload's really heavy, and it's hard to stay ahead. So you just kind of have to make a list of everything you have to do, and just start by checking stuff off, like work your way through it, try not to get too stressed out about everything, staying organized, really time managing well, like narrowing in on the stuff that's most important, and then kind of whittling down to
stuff. I think in a lot of ways, Eva, you're an inspiration to a lot of young ladies out there, and I think what you've shown a lot of your teammates is your willingness to sacrifice and fight through tremendous adversity. And I think you bring that great quality. Now, can you please talk a bit about what you perceive to be your strengths and weaknesses on the court?
So for strength, I would say you mentioned it before, the shooting, that kind of stuff. Kind of team player, just really want to like help the team and like push to like improve on, you know, all aspects individually and as a team. Weaknesses, I'd say the quickness at the three, no. That kind of area, the transition still from forward to kind of guard, and kind of staying strong in both kind of aspects.
Now, how do you feel about, I think those are right on, all right? Great self-awareness. I think because you play multiple positions, I think it's a challenge at times learning the tactics from,
yep.
Like, and transferring, like, for 5 minutes playing the three and then going to the four. Has that been difficult for you?
Sometimes you forget what you're doing and then it's too late.
Now, can you please talk about your role on the team?
So you kind of already said it, but I'm kind of the fill-in player. Like, sometimes I'll have to play a five, even if I'm not a five, or a two and I'm not a two. And then I'm kind of a three, four. No. So I'm like the fill-in.
Well, you know what? I think you need to know, and everybody needs to know, how valuable a component part of the team you are. Eva recently missed a week due to illness, and we missed her so much in practice and on the court. And it's great to have you back out there now. And you need to know that you're very, very valuable. And I think that you're about to turn the corner. And I think with your work ethic, you got to keep going. Now, I don't know what you've been doing, but this last week you've had a tremendous week of practice. Are you feeling stronger and do you feel a lot better now?
Yeah, I feel a lot better now. I just missed it a lot, so I really wanted to just get back out there.
Now, can you talk a bit about your thoughts on the progress of the program since you arrived, and maybe talk a bit about how crazy tough our conference is and what it's like preparing each week?
Yeah, so I've noticed a lot of improvements within the last year that I've been here. We've been kind of growing stronger as a team, like our values, we're kind of more specific on what we want to do in the kind of program. Like I don't know, like the only five teams in the conference, it's really hard to kind of stand out. Like, you know, each team has their own skills. So yeah. After playing each team four or five times, they know everything you're going to do, and you know everything they're going to do, so it's just extremely competitive, and the games get crazy.
As hell.
Yeah.
Now, what advice could you, I ask all the players this, to end off their segment, and I'm wondering, just given your special, special situation, you know, in terms of coming from Kempville, Ontario, studying biochemistry, like facing the adversity, what advice would you give to a young lady that may follow in your footsteps? What advice could you give her to handle those challenges?
I would say for the varsity part, advice would be to just be prepared for, you know, the discipline and the sacrifice for the program, and like you have to love it. Like, yeah. You can't, it would be hard to do without that. And then for varsity plus, you know, the program, just really focusing on your time management. That's really important. Even from high school, you need to kind of already have that set in. Your work ethic has to be, you know, like right there so that you're on top of your assignments and everything. And just being good academically as well as an athlete, it's hard to just have one of those two.
Well, you know what? It's been a great interview. I wish you continued success on the court, in the classroom. I'm hoping that this year, you know, some of your dreams come true on the basketball court, and I'm hoping that you could be an academic All-Canadian this year. I'm hoping that you could fight through and get an 80 average. All right. I wish you success.
Thank you.
And have a great season.
Thank you. There'll be days like this when no one's in a hurry. There'll be days like this when all the parts of the puzzle start to look like they should. And I must remember, there'll be days like this when you don't need an answer. There'll be days like this.
All right, welcome back to Time Out with Coach Craig Norman. Today, we have a special guest. We have Mr. Robert Burns, a former men's Gator, played 5 years for Eddie Pomacala, won 3 provincial championships in his 3rd, 4th, and 5th years. He won a national championship in his 4th year. He was a 5-time league all-star, which is unbelievable. It's exceptional. All right. He was Male Athlete of the Year in his last year at Bishop's University. Rob, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me, Coach Norman.
Rob is settled down and he's living with his family in Lennoxville, and I think it's an interesting story. Rob works at Bishop's University as the Alumni Relations Coordinator, and we'll get into that a bit later. But I'd like to touch on how Rob eventually ended up at Bishop's, and we'll take it from there. Rob, I'm wondering if you could let people know where you grew up and when you were introduced to basketball, and you know, just relay some stories about how basketball became an important part of your life.
Okay, so I grew up essentially in Guelph, Ontario. Lived there with my family from about the age of 6 until I left for university. Really started playing basketball because my mom was looking for an activity for me to do. Essentially, to keep me out of trouble and get me active. So I started playing basketball. It was a league called the YBA. It was the local Y, had a youth basketball association. And my mom convinced my uncle to coach one of the teams. So I was on that team. And I was, I think I was 7 years old when I started to play basketball. And it was a league where you had a couple practices a week and then games on Friday nights. So started to fall in love with the sport then, and
So let me just ask this, Rob. You didn't know you were going to be 6'8" at that point in your life.
I had a pretty good inkling that I would be tall, as my uncles are 6'6", 6'4", 6'4".
Okay.
So I thought I would be pretty tall, but at that point I was pretty average in height with the rest of my classmates. But like I was saying, I really enjoyed the sport of basketball because I really enjoyed the team concept to it. But within that, the one-on-one battles that you would have in a game.
Well, that part of the province in Ontario is a pretty good basketball hotbed. Like University of Guelph and all those, there's a ton of OUA teams down there. Tell me about your high school experience and when you started to get serious about ball.
Yeah, it was really when I was grade 11, I started to get recruited and noticed that, you know, usually you've got to pay to go to camps and stuff. And instead of having to pay anymore, I was starting to get invites to camps. They could go down to Brock or Guelph or Laurier to play in these, you know, like all-star camps or just to be
a person. So are we talking about some recruiting violations were happening back then?
It might be recruiting violations. Okay. I don't think we want to get into that.
No.
But it was the more competitive camps you start to get invited to as an all-star in the region. So that was when I started to start thinking seriously about my university career, what I wanted out of university. And I knew I could be a competitive player just by playing in the Guelph Summer League every year.
So did you go to high? Did you graduate after your 12th year?
No, we had 12? OAC back then.
Okay, so you went 13, right?
Yeah, which was fortunate because I had started school earlier because my sister and I are born within a 12-month period. So I actually started a year before I was supposed to. So by the time I started at Bishop's, I was 18. So if I didn't have OAC, I would have been here at 17.
Wow. So now you're in grade 13. You're all of 6'8". You're playing elite level basketball in Ontario, and you have a number of schools recruiting you. How did Bishop's University get on your radar?
Bishop's got on my radar because a buddy of mine that I played with on my high school team was being recruited by Eddie. And I'd never heard of Bishop's. They weren't really on the national scene at that point in time. So I did a little bit of research on what this Bishop's University was all about. It sounded interesting. They had the program that I wanted, which was business. They were a small university town, which I was looking for. They were far enough away from home that made me comfortable. So I decided to reach out to Coach Eddie and see if I could be a part of his team. So he had me down for a recruiting trip with my buddy over a March break. I fell in love with the campus, fell in love with the programs, the community down here. I saw a program that I could come in and make a difference with right away and could be a difference maker going forward as well, and not just a cog in a successful program already. I could actually come in and put my own stamp on a program.
So in terms of the recruiting process, was it a difficult process? Did you know what you were looking for, or did you just know once you saw something, that's what I wanted?
What I found most difficult was wanting to keep the doors open to other possibilities and not cut coaches off right away. So like you said, growing up in Southwestern Ontario, there was all sorts of coaches at our games all the time. We had a lot of university level players on my high school team. So, you'd go to play a league game and there'd be six coaches from various Ontario teams there all wanting to speak with you, and they'd be calling you at night, sending you letters. So it was tedious for me and exhausting just, not giving coaches a solid no right away because you knew that you weren't going to go, but still trying to keep that door open and, be respectful of people and their programs.
What kind of advice would you give to a elite level athlete being recruited by multiple schools? Like, because it is a difficult process.
Yeah, I would say no right away. If I could go back in time, I would have my checklist of what I was looking for in a school, and if you didn't fit it, I would tell you no right away.
And I agree. That's some great advice. Now, you end up coming to Bishop's. I mean, you have a tremendous career, all right? And from talking with different people, and I also saw you play a number of times. I saw you play in the national championships, and I don't know if people out there know that Rob was a fundamentally sound big man who just did his job and did it well. All right, you wanted and you demanded the ball down in the low block, and you were a great team player. I'm wondering if you started from day one, and maybe if you could touch on a bit of the ups and downs of your career and your strengths and weaknesses as a player.
Yeah, certainly. I like to think I was fundamentally sound right from day one. I was a coordinated kid. I cared about, not making mistakes. So, learning how to pivot properly, learning how to shoot properly, not turning the ball over. Those types of fundamentals were always important for me. So when I got to the university level, it just kind of carried over. And those were important to our coaching staff, too. Like, I know Eddie Palmer-Callan, our assistant, Jeff Harris, put a lot of time into fundamentals and making sure we were doing fundamentals properly.
If I could just cut you off, maybe you can, we have a segment here where we give a coaching tip of the week. And I try to tell the kids out there how important it is, the fundamentals. And that I think NBA guys work on the same things that younger kids do. Would you not agree that in order to stay sharp, you had to keep your fundamentals finely tuned?
Yeah, definitely. And for me, fundamentals really comes down to footwork, getting that footwork down for whatever you've got to do in the game of basketball, whether it's a defensive slide or getting your feet set for a shot. So in practice, we would do, tedious kids games like red light, green light, so that you stop, pivot, start again, stop, pivot. And it seemed childish, but it honed those fundamentals every day, every week, every year, so that when it came to game time, those were second nature.
Now talk a bit about what it was like to win a national championship for Bishop's University in a small community, what that did for the school and what it did for yourself.
For me, it was exactly what I thought we were capable of doing when I first started at Bishop's. It's one of the reasons why I wanted to come to Bishop's. I saw the room for improvement there. I saw a good core group of young guys already. When I started at Bishop's, we were, I think, 9 rookies on the team. And most of the other guys were second-year guys that were core players. So we really grew up together. Most of us lived together in the same building. We spent a lot of time together, built lasting friendships. So it was really,
it was a real
proud moment for me when we started first with our conference championship my third year, to see that growth and improvement in me and my buddies essentially on the team. And then to be able to grow into a national championship and be a contender on the national level was a really proud moment for me, knowing all the hard work and blood, sweat, and tears that we'd put into the program.
It's great. Now, one of the cornerstones of our program, the women's basketball program, is we try to teach the kids to have a balance between academics and athletics. I think it's, you know, that being a champion and being a scholar are not mutually exclusive. And you're an example of that. Can you like relay to the listeners out there how you managed to balance academics and athletics? Because I know that academics was important to you as well.
It was, but it unfortunately was not as important to me as the athletics. Yeah. And I didn't really have the maturity to have that kind of balance when I was a university student. Now, I did well in school, like well enough to get my degree and not flunk classes and finish on time. But I certainly didn't put the effort that I should have been putting into my academics that I put into my athletics.
Well, how did the intangibles of playing on an elite level team that was capable of winning a national championship, how were some of those skills transferable to what you do now? Like some of the discipline and the teamwork and the resilience and dealing with adversity. Did some of those type of things that you learned on the court relay into the working world?
Yes, certainly. And you talked about discipline. I think discipline is the biggest one. Certainly Eddie would stress like discipline was doing the right thing to the best of your ability every single time. So it might not, the best of your ability might not be the best that is out there, but you're doing it to the best of your ability and you're going to do it every single time. So that certainly has carried over into my life outside of basketball, just caring about those details and trying to do my best with whatever I'm putting my energy into.
Great. Now, it's funny that now your job is alumni relations coordinator, and the next question I'm going to ask is, can you talk a bit about some of the friendships that you formed while you were at BU, both with teammates and classmates, and do you still keep in touch with people? Like, in other words, I think that the Bishop's University experience is special, and it has that transferred over to you as well?
Yeah, certainly for me, I'm one of the lucky ones in that my job is connecting with Bishop's people. So it's made it very easy being part of the Bishop's community to be able to do that. And I'm certainly lucky to be able to reach out to a lot of Bishop's people. But a lot of my strong friendships in life are all Bishop's people, be it guys that I played with on the team or people that were just in the community here while I was in school. So certainly those are lasting relationships. You know, a lot of people cared about what we were doing on the court at that point in time. And, we cared about performing well on the court because we knew that we had not just the school behind us, but the community and a lot of fans out there were backing us.
Now, I think maybe, I'm going to veer off a bit, but maybe you can touch on, like, I think some of the athletes, I think when you come to Bishop's, you don't understand the importance of alumni and the networks that have been built over decades. And, you know, a lot of our student athletes are on athletic financial awards, and a lot of it's in part due to, like, the contributions of alumni. And I'm wondering if you could talk a bit about that, like how fortunate the athletes are to be at Bishop's and how alumni contribute to that experience.
Yeah, certainly. When you come to Bishop's, you're not just a number on campus. People know who you are, including alumni. You know, we do a lot of outreach with alumni for especially our sporting teams to give them updates on, okay, player X is now playing for the Bishop's Gators. She's doing this in the game. She's this kind of player. She's taking this, she's going towards this degree, so that alumni can relate to that player and then hopefully give back to the institution and help support the current students.
Great.
And certainly we've got about 2,200 donors every year donate to our annual fund, which
Wow.
is fantastic. There's not too many schools that can brag about that kind of rate of giving amongst their alumni. And certainly former athletes like to give back to their programs.
Now, our paths crossed, I think, in the, 2004, 2005 time frame. I was at McGill, and I believe you were at McGill there. You were working in the advancement office there.
Mm-hmm.
But more importantly, all right, and this is a show about women's basketball. And at that time, our paths crossed because your office was across from mine in terms of the basketball hat you had on. You were an assistant coach to Coach Thorne at McGill University, and Coach Thorne is a former teammate of yours. And I'm wondering, you know, how did you enjoy the coaching aspect? And more importantly, how did you enjoy the coaching women's aspect of it?
Yeah, certainly I enjoyed being able to coach with Ryan. We spent 5 years together at Bishop's and we're good friends. We're great teammates. So to be able to work with him in the women's program and see that other side of him was really important for me and really educational too, to be able to learn a lot from him and his great basketball mind. And then in terms of coaching women, there's not a whole lot of difference between coaching women and men. They're just as competitive. They're just as skilled. They've got that fire burning in them to do their best. And it was a lot of fun to be able to, you know, try to transfer some of my skills that I had on the court to them as a coach. So I really enjoyed that challenge and getting to know some of the girls on the team too. They were a great group, and you could see that program was off to a great start under Ryan.
Well, that's great. Now, you end up back in Lenoxville for whatever reason, and I want you to touch on, you know, how you ended up back here, what you're doing currently, and talk a bit about your family and why you think the Lenoxville community is a great place to raise a family.
Yeah, so when I graduated from Bishop's in 1999, I went to work for McGill almost right away in their advancement office. But even with that job, I was still coming back to the townships on weekends to golf with friends or come down in the wintertime to watch some of the basketball games. I still had a lot of buddies living in the area, some people that I still knew that were at school or teaching at the school. So I was still coming back on a regular basis and still had a strong connection to the townships. And then two friends of mine recruited me to come back and work for their company that's located in Lenoxville. So that got me to make the move back to Lenoxville. And then from there, I worked my way back into advancement and specifically at Bishop's. So now I work in the advancement office. My wife is a professor in the English department. We've got two young kids. Both attend the Panda Daycare on campus. So we just love the townships. We love the atmosphere down here. We love being in a small university town. We try to attend as many Bishop's events as possible, be them athletic events or events in Centennial Theater or in a classroom. It's just a great experience down here to have that Eastern Townships experience, but still have that big city feel with Bishop's University here.
Well, super, super answer. Now, you know, one final question, all right? What do you think the Gators basketball programs provide to the greater community in Lenoxville and to the Bishop's community?
That's a tough question. I think certainly for the student athlete in the Bishop's community, I think the program provides a great structure for student athletes. Basketball is one of those sports where it lasts almost the whole year, the whole two semesters. So it's not just a fall or a winter semester sport, it's the whole year. So you have that discipline and that structure of the basketball schedule helping the student athletes out. And then for the community, if you come to basketball games here, you see a lot of community members in the stands. The kids come out and run around on the court at halftime. You get to see those student athletes in the community, be it at Halloween or just on a regular, you know, Monday night. The student athletes are out there with their apparel on. You see them. You get to know them. You get to, you know, become a part of their lives by supporting them. And I think they appreciate that support. And as community members, we appreciate the hard work that the student athletes put in.
Great, great answer. Great insights, great thoughts. Rob, we wish to thank you for dropping in, and we hope to see you at a bunch of games this year. Have a great day.
Thanks, Coach Norman, and best of luck with the rest of the season.
Thank you. There'll be days like this when you don't get the trade. Judas kiss, and I must remember there'll be days like this. Okay, welcome to a special edition of Time Out with Coach Craig Norman. Today we're lucky to have two young ladies from Montmorency College who are visiting Bishop's University. We have Abigail LaBerge and we have Marika Couturier. Is that how I say the names, ladies?
Yes.
Yes, thank you so much for coming. Abigail she's about a 5'8 perimeter player, 5'9 perimeter player, really super skilled, all right? She spent 2 years at St. Juan. She transferred over to Montmorency. Marika is about 6 foot, 5'11"?
Six, yeah.
6 foot, post player, but very skilled post player. She's physical. She can shoot the ball. I saw her play at Nouvelle Frontier for 2 years. I've had an eye on her. She played for Team Quebec. She's from Val d'Or, all right? And they're both down visiting Bishop's University. They play for Montmorency College, and tonight they're playing against Champlain Lennoxville. Now, ladies, how is the season going so far? Abigail, can you start? How's the season going?
The season's going well. Right now, we're
4-1.
Yeah. We had one loss against Dawson. And, so tonight we'll be playing Lennox.
Yeah.
And we won't be having our whole team. But we'll work hard and we'll try to...
Yeah. I'm sure you guys are going to do just fine now. Marika, is the team ranked in Canada right now? What are you ranked in Canada?
I think we're in the top 10, but I'm not sure which one exactly.
Yeah. Okay. So, tell me this, you guys are being I'm sure you're being recruited by a number of schools. Any idea what you're looking for with schools that you're potentially going to go to next year? Like, are you looking at a small school? Do you want to study in English? Do you want to stay in Canada? Like, do you want to go to the United States? Anything in particular that's of interest for you guys?
Well, I've always been interested in going to school in English.
Yeah.
But I'm open to anything. So either Canada or the States, whichever one, whatever's a good fit.
Now, Abigail, I understand your mom was born in Mississippi,
yes,
right?
Yes, Pascagoula.
Yeah, and your grandfather lives there, is that correct?
Yeah, all my mother's family side lives there.
So, I mean, playing in the U.S., I think, has been a dream of yours throughout your career, correct?
Yeah, that's true.
Okay, and Marika, I understand from talking to you that all you listeners out there, Marika is a Francophone from Val d'Or, and she's a bit nervous about speaking in English, so we're going to try to keep the questions to one. Marika, I understand you want to study in English possibly in university, is that correct?
Yes.
I think that's a great thing, and I don't know if you guys are aware of this, but most of the there's, I would say, 60 or 70% of the girls on our team are Francophones. And I think it's great for a Francophone to come to an English institution and study in English. Now, what made you decide to go to Montmorency College, Abigail?
It was mostly for my decision for university next year. With Montmorency, we get a lot more exposure anywhere. It's a lot easier to talk with the coaches. And I really like Martin. Martin's a great coach. He's really positive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, I think for all you listeners out there, Montmorency College is probably the number one women's program over the last 10 or 15 years. They've won numerous national championships. I think that must have been a big decision, a courageous decision for both of you to transfer out of your schools after your second year. Are you living in residence at Montmorency College, Marika?
Yes.
So both of you girls are now presently living away from home, is that correct?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so moving away from home to go to university would not be so daunting for you guys, is that correct?
Yeah, it wouldn't be so difficult.
Yeah. Now, tell me this, like, every day you guys play against great players in practice.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you got a couple of kids on your team that have signed with major Division I schools. Like, now, have you guys taken on different roles from the past? I know, Marika, at Nouvelle Frontier, you were playing a lot of minutes. Is that correct?
Yes.
So now you're coming off the bench. Has that been a difficult process?
For the beginning, yes. But now, it's okay. Yeah. I accept my role.
That's great. I think, you know, I went and watched a practice last week or 10 days ago, and I thought the both of you were terrific in practice, and I think you're going to, like, every day in practice is better than a game, almost, right?
Mm-hmm,
because
mm-hmm.
you're playing against such great players.
Yeah.
So I think it took a lot of courage to transfer to Montmorency College. And I think in the long run, it's the best decision you probably could have made for yourself.
Yeah.
All right. Now, you're visiting Bishop's University today. Marika, you want to study business, is that correct?
Yes.
And Abigail, you're looking at education.
Yeah.
Now, what are your initial thoughts on the campus and Bishop's University? What's attractive about Bishop's?
Okay, anything? Well, I think the buildings are really nice. I like the architecture, and obviously I think it's nice because I like the feeling of having a campus that's like that's small.
Yeah.
That's kind of like a little family, because that's how my high school was.
Yeah.
My high school was really small. It had like 500 students. And so they tell me that at Bishop's, everyone knows each other and everyone kind of ends up becoming friends. And so I like that.
Well, it's kind of unique when you visit a university and you get to meet the principal, right? Like the head guy, which is neat. And at Bishop's, we say that the third row is the back row. Like there's the classrooms are very small, all right? And I mean, you guys are gonna, like, you're both elite level players, and you're gonna be recruited by a lot of programs. And I think at Bishop's, what we sell is the intimacy of the school, the small community. There's only one traffic light in Lenoxville. All right, it's a small school, and all the girls live within close proximity. All right, I wish you guys well for your game this evening. I wish you well for your season, and I hope you have a great visit at Bishop's today.
Okay, well, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, welcome back to Time Out with Coach Craig Norman. This is the wrap-up segment of our show. Who do we play this week? We got Laval University coming into town on Friday night at 6 o'clock. We play at 6, the men play at 8. Huge game. We're tied with Laval in second place right now, 2-2. The winner of that moves into a three-way tie for first place. We went down to Laval 2 weeks ago and we beat them in their own gym when they were ranked 6th in the country. No doubt they're coming back here to get some sweet revenge. The rest of the league is inactive this week. This is a game, this is a makeup game that Laval needed to reschedule from the second semester, so we've moved it to the first semester. It's unfortunate, but we have to do it. We got to help out our conference mates once in a while. It's the last week of classes, so McGill, UCAM, Concordia are all off. Us and Laval got to soldier through. Like, exams start on Saturday, so we're a bit worried about that. But you know what? We're looking forward to this game. It's going to be our fourth game against a top 10 opponent in a row. So we think it's just great for our development. We're not going to change too much from the last game. Like, you know, we're going to try and improve some stuff that we didn't do too well against McGill. We want to play better out of, random offense. We want to recognize zone defense a bit quicker and have we want to be a little more sure of ourselves on the offensive end of the floor. We know them, they know us, so there's no secrets. So there's no other games in the university circuit this week. Diane, what games are coming up in the Sejup League? I think this is their last week, and so they're going to be finishing up as well. What games are on tap?
Yeah, so there's three games this Friday. Champlain-Lennox will be at Édouard-Montpetit. Champlain-Saint-Lambert will be at Montmorency, and Trois-Rivières will play at Sainte-Foy. And on Sunday, Sainte-Foy will play again against Vanier.
Okay, perfect. Now, once again, we have Coach Andreville here who runs our small ball program, graduate assistant with our program, coaches a local high school team. And, you know, I watched her this weekend coaching some young kids in the gym, and Diane, I just want to mention on air, I think your development as a coach has been, like, you know, outstanding, and we're so fortunate to have you on our staff. Now, I'm wondering, what is your coaching tip of the week this week?
So this week, I want the coaches to teach the fundamentals of shooting. So use the BEEF method. So first off, you want the kids to be balanced. It's about their footwork, having their feet set, make sure they're shoulder width apart. And it's also about hand placement of the ball, make sure it's in the middle of the ball. Yeah. Then you have to make sure that their elbows are straight and it forms an L. Also, their eyes have to always be on the target. Make sure they always look at the basket before they shoot. And they have to keep their follow through after the ball. Make sure that their guiding hand and their shooting hand is up until the ball goes through the hoop. And lastly, I've seen this so many times. If the kid is left-handed, it's okay if they shoot with their left. You don't have to make them shoot with their right.
So BEEF, you have a bit of an acronym there. So it's good for a young coach to have something prepared that they can teach to the kids and they can remember. So you got balance, you got elbow, you got eyes, and you got follow through.
Yep.
That's beautiful. And make no mistake about this, all right? If you're going to play basketball, you need to learn how to put the ball in the basket, Okay? You got to be able to shoot the ball. So I think, once again, Coach Anderville comes up with a great tip of the week. Now, our song of the week this week is once again by the great Van Morrison. All right? And it's called Days Like This. All right? It's a terrific song. And he talks a lot in this song about those perfect days. All right? Where everything seems to just fit into place. All right? And I think as a coach, you know, my goal is to coach the perfect basketball game. And as a player, I think their goal is to play the perfect game. But we all know that that's probably not possible. And I think that what I'm learning as I grow older is the good and the bad balance us out. All right? And I think part of the things, a big strong message I try to teach the girls or anybody I come in contact with is that we're all good on our best days. I know I am. I'm terrific on my best days. But we all got to get a bit better on our worst days. All right? Now, have a great, great weekend. Diane, it was super working with you once again here.
No problem, Coach.
All right? We look forward to our game this week against Laval. Next week, we'll be in here and we'll recap the first semester of play and let you know what's happening over the holiday season. So, everybody have a great week and we'll see you next week. Well, that's nobody's business. Well, it's you, woman. Well, my mama told me there'll be days like this. When no one steps on my dreams, there'll be days like this. People understand what I mean. There'll be days like this. When you ring out the changes, well, my mama told me, yeah, there'll be days like this. Well, my mama told me, yeah, there'll be days like this. There'll be days like this. Well, my mama told me, yeah, there'll be days like this. Oh, my mama told me, she said, there'll be days like this.